Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issue. Debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. When Lizzy May is paying the building,
it's what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to It's Real Talk Radio. And I am your host tonight, Lizzy May. Tay Real is MIA, of course. But I have a special guest co-host with me, Miss Corey. Where are you at?
Hey, lady. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm here. So, the reason for the show tonight, which is the gift and the curse of falling in love. And the reason why we came up with that topic is because a certain situation that I was in just recently. I was in a 2-year relationship, and come to find out, well, this is what happened. We were together for 2 years. And he worked a lot and everything, and then and I didn't really see him as much. What, like, I would see him on my days off, or I would see him on his days off. So he worked a lot, supposedly. And then after a while, I would say it was like probably about a year, it got pregnant and then ended up losing the baby.
Oh.
And then, yeah. So then that happened, and then we stopped talking for a little while. It's just like I didn't see him as much anymore, and I couldn't understand why. And a lot of the time that we talked, it was always through text messages. Like, he hardly ever called me, which I thought was really weird. In the beginning, he did. And what did you say?
I'm just listening, baby. Go ahead.
Oh, and then, like, in the beginning, he called a lot, but then, I don't know, after a couple of months, he never really called me. It was always through text messages, which was really weird to me, always weird to me. So after that whole situation happened, we stopped talking for a little bit, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. And then something, I don't know what it was, something just clicked to me. I don't know what it was, but, like, I knew he had a Facebook. I've seen it before. I don't add none of my significant others on Facebook. Facebook, you know, that whole stuff online, it can, you know, ruin a relationship. So I've always seen him. I've always seen that he had a Facebook. I've even went to it before and checked it out or whatnot. Nothing really on there. So, and then something made me want to check it again. I don't know what it was, a gut feeling. Something just told me to go back and look and see on his, I haven't heard from him. Something just told me. So I go to his Facebook, and the name that it was under wasn't under anymore. It didn't exist. I guess he deleted that one. So I go into typing his government name, and there it is, his Facebook. and it's all different this time. And then I looked at it, and I didn't see nothing suspicious, so I got off of it. And then it just kept bothering. So I go back on it again, and I throw down. I'm like, let me click on here real quick. And you know how it says all the information, like where they went to school and all that. And then I scroll down even more, and it says engaged to somebody, somebody. Yeah. So then, of course, me, I click on the chick's name, and sure enough, her picture pops up, and there he is standing there with her in all pictures. Every picture was with him. Every single picture, even the kids and everything, because he has three kids. And every single picture was him. My heart just dropped. I could not believe it. 2 years, and they had been engaged for. They got engaged a month after we started seeing each other.
Oh, this. Oh, Lord. You know, the pastors be trying to be Christian and stop cussing and stuff and calling Jesus' children outside of their names. Oh, but that motherfucker there. Sorry. See, for all the fellas listening, my temper and the way it's set up probably is not as great and as gracious as this beautiful young woman on the phone. Because, see, shit like that is how people come up missing.
I know, right?
Legally, you'll mess around and be allergic to shellfish and mysteriously eat a shrimp. Shit like that.
I lost it, though, because after I seen it, I went, where did I go? I messaged him on Facebook because at this time his phone was cut off. Let me tell you about his phone. I was helping him pay his phone for over a year. Mm-hmm. Pay his phone bill. And I just let that shit. That shit got cut off. I was
okay.
And that was a wreck.
Yeah.
So I messaged him on Facebook, and then I messaged her on Facebook, and I even like. I had proof. Like, I screenshotted everything. Like,
right.
I was prepared, and I even told her, I said, if you want more proof, I can give you all the proof you need, that this is no lie, I'm not trying to scam you or nothing like that. You know, I'm just letting you know what's going on, just so you're aware. You know, I know we ain't got no beef with each other because we don't even know each other, and you probably
right.
don't even know what's going on either. So I'm just letting you know. Well, then the funniest part, though, is that I messaged him. I couldn't get in touch with him. I just couldn't. So, of course, you know, I'm thinking, how can I get in touch with him? How can I get to him so I know that he'll reply back at least? So he has an older son. His son is, like, 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I messaged his son on Facebook because me and him have talked before. I've met his
right.
older son.
Oh,
and I'm like,
we introducing the child?
Yeah, his oldest son.
Are you living
child?
Okay, I got to hear how this ends because you can't get this simple. You got to work to be this stupid.
I know. I mean, he had his son call me like, "Hey, stepmom," and all that. So I don't understand. So I messaged his son and I'm like, hey, you know, can you please tell your dad to contact me? So then as soon as that happened, I got a message right back from him, of course. And he's
of
like,
course.
You need to stop messaging my son. You know, you need to stop this. I'm like, whoa. I only messaged your son one time. It was because after several messages trying to contact you, you never replied. You know, let's keep it real. You see all the messages. It shows that it's been seen. So I know that you have read them. Like, stop playing around. And he was like, well, you need to leave my family alone. I don't want no drama. Leave my son messaging my wife and all this. I'm like, oh, really? So it's true, you know, that you're engaged and everything. And why didn't you just, you know, be honest with me from the beginning? I don't understand.
What?
You know, I'm just finding out about this. I don't understand why you're mad when you're the one that's been doing this. You're the one that caused the drama. I didn't have to waste 2 years of my life for all this. This was a waste of time. And you're getting mad at me, telling me to leave you alone and all this and all of that. That's crazy. So then all of a sudden I get messages, this is his wife. And you need to leave my family alone, and I don't want no drama. But come to find out later on that it really wasn't his wife. It was him the whole time pretending that it was his wife. So then I friend request his wife, of course.
Of course.
I'm trying to get the bottom of it. Of course. I'm pissed off. I want her to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And So she accepted, and she was like, do I know you? I was like, no, but me and you both know your man.
Right.
Let's just get it. So I talked to her, and she was like, oh, no. And she's like, oh, no, the car that he's been driving is mine. I was like, well, we had sex in that car several times.
Oh, he never like that? Oh, excuse me. My sexy voice went all out the window. God, pardon me. I'm going to get it back. He lucky he not cut. He is. He lucky he not cut.
Yeah, she was mad, too. And I told her about him, like, pretending that, you know, that he was her on his page, you know, messaging me. And she was like, what? Hold on, forward me all the messages that he sent to you. I was like, okay, no problem. And after that, it was pretty much over with. Like, she never said anything else, so she got the proof that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, anything else you need, I will definitely send it to you, because there is definitely proof. I sent pictures and everything. I was not playing around. And I left it alone, though. I was, you know, after that, I left it alone. I thought about going to his job and beating his ass and
that's not,
all
let's
that.
Let's not do that, because we don't need the witness. The witnesses and that. Don't do this. You want to do this professionally.
But then I was just like, it's not even worth it, you know. The only thing I wanted to really get out of it was her knowing. I just wanted her to know, because he was acting like she did know when she really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted her to know. She probably stayed with him. I mean, I see her on the pages. They're engaged still. So ain't nothing mm-hmm. changed unless it's a lie on there. But...
Oh, no, she likely stays.
And it's probably happened to her before. Because she
mm-hmm.
really, when I messaged her, she didn't seem shocked. Like, she was just like, just give me the proof.
Mm-hmm.
No, she didn't seem shocked at all. And he had this well planned. He knew exactly what he was doing. You got to be really smart to get away with that for 2 years.
Well, no. It's not necessarily that you have to be smart. You just have to know your competition. See, we women, and I was talking to a friend of mine tonight. I was saying that when I get my doctorate, it's going to be all about women's studies, how we tick, how we operate, how we think. And we think
Hey, Corey, are you there?
Oh, well, we lost her for a minute. But like I was saying, like, I was pissed off because, you know, we was together for 2 years, and then we have a child, and something tragically happens, and then we go through all this, you know, this big struggle and everything, and then come to find out that it was all a lie. Like, that was the hard part about it. And I don't know. I cried for maybe like two days, and I was pretty much over it. Now, for some females, it's different. Now, when you really, really in love with somebody to heart, like really take it to heart, because you know. Just like the whole main topic of tonight, there is a gift and a curse of falling in love. You know, sometimes when you fall in love, you know, you could have the greatest person, your soulmate, your everything. And then sometimes when you fall in love, you end up getting hurt, getting cheated on, getting lied to, and all that. Is it, you know, that's just how love works sometimes. You know, and with females, it's different from men, because with females, we are so emotionally attached, you know, and it's harder for us to let go sometimes. And I mean, for some men, you know, it can hit them hard, depending on what type of man they are. You know, some men, you know, they're all about their pride. So they don't let it bother them as much. It bothers them, but they know how to keep it together. And then some men, you know, they break down just like any other female. They break down, they get upset. Some go through depression and all that. You know? But it's to each their own, you know, because everybody is different. And I think we have Corey back.
Yes, I am so sorry. Thank you. I pay too much damn money to AT&T, but it's bullshit.
Oh, Boost Mobile, and it's terrible. It is terrible. I know the feeling.
But I was saying that women we're creatures of comfort. Like that, they created the word like comfort food for us. Like we are comfort creatures, and as long as home is comfortable, we're fine. We don't got no reason to question no shit. We ain't got no reason to look for nothing because we're comfortable. the problem with men is that when they're trying to juggle two households, they fall out of routine somewhere. And it's usually at home because he's comfortable there. He don't think she's watching. Oh, babies, we watch. So you used to come home at 6 o'clock, shop, never really no problem. Now you're starting to come home at 6:20. Now you're coming home at 6:30. Now it's 7 o'clock. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ping, what's going on here? Oh, I was working late. Yeah, but you know what? Your paycheck is not reflecting all these extra work hours. So,
right.
I'm not comfortable anymore. Now I'm not comfortable. Now I got to go look for shit because you're lying. And I know it. Because we're crazy. You know, we got to be comfortable. And we have to be, and everybody's always like, if I got to go look for some shit, I got to leave. No, you don't. Because as a woman and as a comfort creature, we have to be comfortable with our decision. So our decision to leave has to be a comfortable one. It can't be one based on no shit we can't prove. We have to be, because we have to be comfortable with it. We don't want to have to regret. We don't want to have to be like, well, what if I was wrong? Well, what if he wasn't cheating? Well, what if he was just working late? Well, what if, what if, what if? Mm-mm. We got to be comfortable with it. So, yeah, we got to go look. And once we get our proof, now we can be comfortable with our decision of whether or not we're going to leave your ass or whether or not we're comfortable with what you're doing. If we're, we're more comfortable with what you're doing than being alone. And some women have got to become comfortable with being alone, and they're not. And why? Because we've been drilled since we were babies that we got to grow up and find a man to love and become his queen. We got to grow up and we got to become a wife. We got to grow up. We got to learn how to cook. We got to grow up. We got to learn how to sew. We got to grow up. We got to have pretty hair and we got to have pretty bodies and we got to dress pretty. Why? Because we got to find a man to love. We got to find a man. We got to find a man. We got to find a man. We never get comfortable with being us before we are shoved down a man's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a cycle we've been perpetuating since ever.
Right. And I
but your
think...
friend, but your little dude, yeah, he lucky he ain't coming up with a bullet.
But I think I kind of messed up too because I had just gotten out of a relationship that had hit me hard. Like I was deeply, madly in love with the dude. And it was a different kind of relationship because, you know, we were at the bottom and we struggled to work our way to the top. We lived together.
Mm-hmm.
We see each other all the time. So it was a different feeling with him. So mm-hmm. then I was still, you know, I was still dealing with that issue and I needed, just like you say, us women don't like to be alone. And I was feeling, you know, lonely. And he was the first person that reached out to me, and there it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he knew that I had already dealt with that relationship and what I had went through. So it was just like his easiest way to get his way in. And
mm-hmm.
I never looked back. I didn't think anything of it because I fell so easily. I was vulnerable.
Mhm.
And that's how most men get you when they get you when you're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see straight at the time. And now further down the line, I started noticing things. You know, once I finally got myself together and was over that, you know, was over that guy, I started noticing things and I started questioning things.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I'm thinking, you know, gotta trust him. You know,
okay.
I don't want him to think that I'm jealous or anything, you know, or
right.
I just didn't want to question him, so I just shut up about it. Now normally I would be smart enough to just sit back. You know, and, you know, bring my guard up a little bit and just sit back and try to, because I'm a big analyzer. So most of the time I'll try to point things out, notice things, you know, go snooping, all that. And then put two and two together, be before it gets to that point where I'm getting hurt. You know, I usually before it gets that bad. But at this point, I don't know what it was. I think I just didn't want to be alone. And so I just stuck it out. I could see all the signs, but I just didn't want to be without nobody. I had just been in a relationship, and I wanted that. I'm getting older, and that's something that I'm wanting more and more. Like, at this time of my age, everybody is married and has kids, and I'm just like the lonely wolf. So I wanted that. But once all that had been said and done, I realized that I really needed to just really take the time for myself. That's what I needed. And I realized that I have to, because I've never really experienced, you know, being by myself for a long period of time. And, you know, maybe that's just, you know, what I need. And a lot of other females should do the same. Stop jumping into, you know, relationships back to back. Instead of just letting you, you know, experiencing the single life and enjoying it. So I've come to the conclusion that I just need to just back off of relationships, because then when I get into another one, I'll be mentally and physically ready for it. Because I know if I was to get another one, I would not be, I don't trust nobody now. I don't trust a goddamn thing that God says. It's working.
Well, let's just talk about the theme of the show. It's the blessing and the curse of falling in love. I don't like the term falling in love. Last time I fell, I fucked my ankle up. Ain't no good come from falling. Okay? It just can't. My ankle's still wrong. I'm falling. So, no good can come of falling. I hate that term. But the quicker that we understand that love is not this chemical process, that flutter you get in your stomach, that palpitation in your heart, that is a chemical reaction to being attracted to someone.
That's very true.
You're attracted to their smell, their look, the sound of their voice, the things that they say. These are attractions. Yeah. We are animals. We are attracted to each other. The love part is a choice. You have to choose to love somebody thick or thin. You've got to choose. Just like you said, I saw the signs, but I toughed it out. You made a choice to tough it out with him. You made a choice to love him through all of the other shit you saw. This is a choice. And what we have to learn how to do is to choose wisely. Sometimes when your gut telling you some shit wrong, it probably is. It just is. I have known women to say it just like you said, it felt wrong. Something I had a feeling. People don't want to realize it, but we all have some instincts. There's something in our heads that just, when something ain't right, our body goes into fight or flight. And that is in the face of danger, that is in the face of stress, that is in the face of uncertainty, our bodies go into fight or flight. So either we going to run from this, we just going to, you know, like you could have just like, you know what, it don't feel right, Chuck Deuce, I got to go. Or let me check this and let me see if my relationship is worth fighting. It is worth fighting for. You know, so the blessing is that when you choose to love someone, or in my case, someone that were built for you, that were built for your kind of life, that were built for your weakness and for your struggle and for your strength and for your triumph, that is it transcends anything, and that is whether or not we're talking about in a relationship, or we talking about children, or we talking about family or friends. That kind of love, people die for. That's why I said your friend lucky he ain't come up missing, because he might have. Because you feel like you put your all into somebody, and he, oh Lord, I'm glad you probably didn't tell me this. I'd be sitting in somebody's jail behind you. Just tell him I'll just put something on my commissary. I'm gonna get my girl on T Block to braid my IB in the, what's that show that everybody like? Orange is the New Black or whatever it's called. Put some money. Because that's a hard pill to swallow. The curse, and I don't necessarily look at it as a curse, but when the trust of love is broken, when the bond of love has to be restructured, because it has to be. It, you know, he got to go on about his day, and he got to go on. This is also a blessing. You get to learn you. You get to reconstruct you in some manner. You get to change. Change is not always a bad thing. You know, you get to learn what's beautiful about you again. You know, like, because you gotta go back out there and you gotta dangle your bait out there again. So you have to learn, you know, you gotta make yourself marketable again, and you learn that your eyes are beautiful. You're like, damn, if I wear this purple eyeliner, okay then. You know, you know, I'm on point. You know what? This MAC lipstick, this is all right. You know what? I'm going to go back to the gym. I'm going to start doing a healthy lifestyle. I'm going to start, you know, slimming back out. Because, you know, ladies, we get comfortable. We get beside ourselves sometimes. Fellas, too. Fellas, too. And you just learn to restructure yourself again. And that is a blessing. Now, does it hurt like hell? Does it suck like a well-paid hooker? I'm talking well-paid, one of them Vegas hookers, one of them. Yeah, that sucks. But change is rarely easy. And when you're rebirthing, birth, no, I don't care, any kind of birth, hurts. I had one. It's a motherfucker. Oh, yeah, it hurts. But when you come back out on the other side of that and you... I'm telling you, when you come on the other side of this, you going to look at this cat like, what the fuck was that? What kind of low was I at? I look at some of my exes like that, like, okay, where the hell was I? Mentally, physically, structurally, that this was okay.
I do exactly the same. Like, what the hell was I thinking? And it does feel good, because when I was single prior to the other two relationships, I took some time, a little bit, not much, but when I did take time, you do realize, you get to sit down and you get to think about what you want, what you need in a relationship, and all that. So it was really good. So I do realize that this time around that I definitely do need to just really take a long, long break and really, really speed it out. Like, really, really don't just go for the first guy that gives you that attention, because there are many men out there, many men.
And it may be the first man to give you some attention, but it make sure it's the first man that gives you the attention you want. Because all attention ain't good attention. It's just not, you know. And the amount of time that you need is on you. Some births are really quick. Some are really lengthy and long, you know. But you don't be afraid to, like, and I say this to everybody, don't be afraid to write down what you need. Start there. I need X, Y, and Z. Now, granted, you're going to want some stuff, but if you can do without what you want to get what you need, yeah. I tell this story all the time, and people think it's the funniest story on earth. I love light skin men. I do. Lord have mercy. Whew.
I used to not, and for some reason, that's all I have dated. Lately, it is just something about them, and I hated dark skin men. But now, oh my goodness gracious! And if they come with that good scent, especially like older men too. I don't know what it is. I've never liked older men, but it's just. It's just appealing to me now. It's so weird how it just, like, it changes as you get older. It really, really changes. Like, I'm just so attracted to older men. And I don't know.
It's funny. I love, this is my prototypical male. This is what I say. I like light skin. I like pretty eyes. I like wavy hair. I like for you to be tall. And I would prefer that you be slender. Not skinny, just slim. The man who stole my heart is dark-skinned. The man ain't got a hair on his head to be seen. Not one. Not a single hair. Just bald. He is thick. We're talking, he's probably like 6'2". He's probably pushing like 255, 260. He's a big boy. It's solid. It's, you know, he's fat. He's muscular. But he ain't slim worth a damn. And his eyes are, you know, he just got dark, you know, normal eyes for a dark-skinned man. It's nothing particular. They're not light or not hazel or nothing. That stole my heart. Nothing I wanted, but everything I needed. Everything. So it's just a matter of like, hey, let's just start writing down. And then, you know, ladies, fellas, too, don't be afraid to be like, listen, what do you need? Like, what do you want this to go? Because he'd be like, oh, I just kind of want to go with the flow. But you already know that you are like, nah, I ain't the go with the flow type of chick. I kind of need some stuff to be up front now. Don't be afraid to be like, well, listen, do that over there. It was nice hanging out with you. It was, you know, wonderful hanging out with you, whatever. And let them get what you want. Get what you need. I feel like women, we spend a whole lot of time catering to what they want in an effort to get a man. Like, if he says to you, I ain't looking for nothing serious right now, you're willing to go with that because eventually you'll feel like, well, if he hang out with me long enough, if he gets to know me and the wonderful person I am, maybe he will, and maybe he will, and then maybe he won't. You know, so after 3 or 4 months, somebody knows something. It ain't no, we're not still going with the flow. You should know enough about me that either you want to move in the direction thereof or you're still out, going out there. And, you know, I find myself a little bit more drawn to older men because they do know. You know, the younger generation, no offense to y'all, because, hell, I'm only 32. but we are some love-loathing individuals. We really are. And if you look at our transition from the 90s to the 2000s, I don't know what everybody has this hate for love all of a sudden, and it ain't shit. And how do you know? At 20, you don't know what the hell it is, much less can hate it. So even in like R&B, if you notice, like even in our music taste, we've gone from the shies and, you know, they had that hit song Comforter, you know, where this was just a friend. He was just a friend. Listen, I know that he hurt you, and I'm sorry, and I just want to comfort you to, you know, you got Trey Songz. Yeah, I know that nigga ain't shit, but, you know, I'll fuck the shit out of you and send you home. You be all
right. Right. But it's true, though. definitely true. Definitely true.
So, you know, the blessing and the curse is like, you know, I think that people are really not understanding that compatibility is a big thing. You know, it can't just be a matter of he's a male and she's a female and they must be compatible because I think he's sexy and I think she's sexy. All right, what else?
Right.
I can't be with nobody that don't read. You know. Who am I going to drag in the bookstores with me? He's standing outside. This is bullshit. What? Did you grab these books and come on? No, I need somebody who's already standing in the check line with his book. Like, would you bring your ass on here? We've been in here for 20 minutes.
Right.
I mean, that cat.
No, it's like if I try to talk to like somebody from the, you know, younger, it just like their lines, they have some like weak lines, like it's just weak. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to somebody that's a little bit more mature, you know, he's gonna say, "Hi, how are you doing? My name is so and so. I would love to take you in some time and get to know you better." You know, and nowadays the young guys are like, "What's up, ma? How are you doing? Can I get your digit?" Like all like that. I just hate that. I refuse to mess with somebody that is younger than me or even talk. I turn them all down. It's just a waste of time.
There is that, and yeah, there's a, you know, and love does have to have a presentation, fellas. Ladies,
please.
Love has a presentation.
Yes.
Present it. Make somebody want to choose to love you.
Right.
You know, I think the biggest curse right now that we have of not love, because I don't believe love can ever be a curse, but I do believe that the curse of relationships at this juncture in 2015 is communication. Communication, or the lack thereof, is what is cursing these relationships. Everybody on somebody's social media talking about Facebook ruins relationships. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. People on Facebook ruin relationships. Facebook is an entity. It is out there in space. If it wasn't Facebook, it would be Twitter. If it wasn't Twitter, it would be Instagram. If it wasn't Instagram, it would be, you know, what? At what point? At what point it was Yahoo, AOL, Black Planet. Yes, I'm telling my age, MySpace. None of these things were, quote-unquote, ruining relationships because people still had good enough sense to talk to their significant other. But at this point, it's like, we're having meetings on Facebook. You talk to him today? Yeah, I saw him on Facebook. No. Did you pick up your phone, ring his number, and and talk to him? Y'all are having a damn conversation on your status on Facebook, and then they say with a straight face, "And you keep them out of my relationship." Oh, yeah?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. And you're talking to someone who shows her relationship off on Facebook. I do. I used to have a running series called The Chronicles of Him where I would just put up a conversation that we had that was just so fucking obnoxious. Just so if people would be like, "Oh, my God." Like, yeah, y'all think he's this serious, uptight dude? Yeah, this is the type of stuff he say to me. And people would laugh and da-da-da. But then I also realized people would crave that. They'd be like, "Oh, well, I want." I'm like, "Oh, wait. hold on now. Your lane. Stay in it. Your feelings hurt.
I don't even talk about, you know, well, when I'm mad, I talk about relationships. I did with my ex, though. That dude, I put him on blast on Facebook. I wanted to do whatever I had to do to torture him, and he hated that. But other than that, I don't even really mess with Facebook like that. It's just drama. And then you put a relationship in there, it's even more drama because then everybody's in your business. And then,
yeah,
and that's the problem.
People are only in as much business as you let them in. People are only as much drama as you let them create. You know, I haven't been on in a while, guys, so I have to remind you all that I'm poly, and being in multiple relationships, you can't cause no more drama than that. You've got, you know, in my case, you've got three women with very, very distinct personalities, varied ages. I'm 10 years younger than both of them.
Wow.
So, you know, there's that. And then you've got, you know, one who's a preacher's kid, and you've got one who's, you know, she's got her personality, and she's kind of how do I call it? You got that round away girl. That's who she is, bless her heart. Southern girl, beautiful. Southern. But, you know, she's got that, as I call it, the pit bull, she's the pit bull in the skirt. You know, and then you've got, as he calls it, and then he's got my bougie ass, as he loves to say. I'm not bougie, but, you know.
So he's kind of got, like, the best of three worlds there. Everything, a little bit of everything right there.
Yeah, you've got the best of three worlds, but, I mean, it's like putting three distinct powders in the same keg. And if you light that keg, boom, you know, depending on, you know, like I said, we're women, emotional and sometimes illogical and hormonal people, you know, I look at him sometimes like, are you sure this is what you want?
Wow. He's got his hands full there.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, but we are, you know, and his favorite thing, and I used to worry, I'm like, what would happen if, like, one of us got into it, or the three of us got into it, or what if, you know, what if we didn't like each other, what would happen? And this was, like, what he said to me, and this is what I take everywhere. There is no situation that we cannot conquer. We are never are we outshadowed by the moment. We are, you know, the moment is never bigger than we are. So whatever it is, we're going to deal with it like families do. You know, there's never a point where we can't learn something. There's never a point where I can't teach you all something. There's never a point where this situation should become any bigger than the love that I've bonded in this family. So I feel that way about Facebook. Like, if you can let somebody from some city or some block, some picture, some pixel on the screen, if that's going to break the bond that you all have created in love and light, y'all need to check that mom. Because it's a kink in it somewhere.
And that's very, very.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, everybody's a victim of something. Well, she just won't go away. Yeah, you got a block button. Use it.
Mm-hmm.
know, well, she won't stay out of my man's inbox. She might not. She might, you know what? She might won't stay out of your man's inbox. She might not. The saying goes, it's not what she did, it's what he allowed her to do, or vice versa. It's not what he's doing, it's what's being allowed. Yeah, he won't stay. I done told her to stay out of man's inbox. Yeah, but that's a grown man that can do whatever the hell he or she wants to do, and better yet, whatever he or she is allowed to do. So if your man is entertaining this after you've made it clear that it makes you uncomfortable, that's a problem. If your girl keeps entertaining this cat after you've made it a point that, A, it's going to be a problem in this household if you keep entertaining this dude, then clearly she has no respect for the authority that you bestowed upon you as her king, or rather that you was bestowed and assist, can you talk, bestowed upon her as your queen. Y'all supposed to be running this. This y'all kingdom, and y'all letting jokers run y'all. Come on now.
Right.
But this is the blessing and curse of falling in love, or being in love, I should say, because that falling, y'all mess around, crack y'all skulls doing this.
and like me and Dave was discussing too, like there is, guys, a difference between loving somebody and being in love. Because the question that he asked me was you really in love with him? And I had to really sit back and really, really think about it. Because it wasn't hard to let go. It was just like, okay, I was sad for 2 days. I'm moving on. And it was just like that easy. So I had to really like sit back and really think, like, was I really in love with this guy? I must not have been, because it was just so easy to let go. And I know the feeling of, you know, being in love with somebody is totally different. It's hard. Some people, they lose it.
Well, because there are stages of grief in any situation, and even in the end of a relationship. So when you found out that there was another component in this that you didn't realize, you probably went from zero to pissed off and nothing flat. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you went from that zero to pissed off, so there's your anger. Anger is one of the, you know, biggest things in grieving. Then you were likely hurt. I'm pretty sure you went through some tears. Then you figure, you know what, I'm going to get this bastard back. And you were so hell-bent on hurting him the way he had hurt you. You were so hell-bent on inflicting the pain that you felt inward on him, because it was like, okay, well, right now I'm not happy, and this is not to make you sound bitter, because I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't have done this. Well, damn it. I'm not happy. You're not about to be happy. You sure not about to be happy on the back and the sweat and the blood and the tears that I've bestowed upon you for these last 2 years. It's definitely, your happiness is not going to come on that. So, yeah, we're going to tear your happiness apart real quick. And you were working through that then. You were in the informing of the fiancé and the making sure she knew and, you know, trying to get in contact with him, you were bargaining. And now, by the time you got through to her, you were already at the acceptance part. You were like, I've done all I can do. Whew, I'm done. So there wasn't anything to grieve for anymore. So I don't know if I would use that indicator about whether or not you were actually in love with him. Because I would venture to say, if you weren't in love with him, you wouldn't have been hurt to begin with. If you weren't in love with him, there would be no need to hurt him the way he hurt you. These are all the things that the betrayal of trust brings on. So like I said, by the time you got to letting her know and being content with her knowing and giving her everything. And by the time that whole fiasco ended, you were like, "Whew, I'm good now. There's nothing else." And that 2 days, you had been like, "I'm done. I'm over. I've done all I got to do." And at the end of 2 days, you was like, "Fuck 'em." But you are at the acceptance phase of your grief.
So, right.
I don't know if that's
I guess so. When you break it down like that, yeah. I guess I didn't see it that way at first because I handled another situation a lot differently. Like I took it harder. It was like couldn't let him go even though he had hurt me and lied to me. It was just like I could not let go of him. Like it didn't matter. I still wanted to stay, and I went through it for months. So I guess it was, I don't know. I guess I handle everything differently. Every relationship is, different in how you handle it. And I think, I think maybe I handle it differently because he had another woman. And maybe that played a role because I knew that it wasn't going to happen anyways. I wasn't going to get back with him. He's already has a family.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was the difference. And the other guy didn't. He I still wanted to stick around with him because, it wasn't like he cheated. It was because we didn't get along. So it was the ending, the breaking up part was different.
And it sounds like that at that point you were in your bargaining phase of grief. So you had gotten the lie, whatever, the not getting along, and you were probably in denial for that for a while. Oh, well, we would get along if it wasn't for. We were fine if he just didn't. You're in denial. Okay, we get along. It's going to be all right, whatever. And then you get to the anger part of it. You get angry. You get pissed off, and you try to figure out how you're going to get through that. And then you have to get through the bargaining part. I'll stay if he does this. I'll stay if he does that. I'll stay if he shows me this. I'll stay. And that's probably what you were going through all of them months before you just realized that, damn it, no matter what I do and no matter what he do, we just don't get along. Then you've got to go in through. You got to be angry. You got to cry. You got to go through that all over again. Because it's the cycle continues. The cycle continues all the way until you get to the acceptance part. So you went to the bargaining, and then you realized that this just wasn't going to work. And that's probably when you fell into the depression part of it. You cried. You were angry. You were hurt. You probably stayed away from people. You probably stopped trusting people for a little bit. And then finally you get to the point where you're like, what? I'm done. He's gone, and I accept this. And then the cycle stops. You're at that acceptance point. So it just depends on, first of all, the length of the cycle, and second of all, where you stay stuck. Because some of us stay stuck in that anger part. We just pissed. We want to tear the house down brick by brick. That's probably me.
And I'm more emotional. I just get very, very emotional. I don't want to hurt the person. I will fight them. I'm just emotional. I see.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't see no point in even going. I mean, I wanted to kill him, and I even threatened him, and he wanted to kill me too. But
I'm sure.
But I mean, I would just get emotional. That's all I do is I cry and I'm over it. Let me cry it out. Leave me alone. Let me cry it out, and I'm done. After that, it's over.
I get it. I mean, it happens. It's you know, and some of us, when we're grieving, we don't go through the whole cycle. Some of us shoot straight to anger. Some of us shoot straight to depression. Some of us shoot stay, like some of us stay in the bargaining. Like, if you marry me, I'll stay. So then they put the ring on your finger. There's never any marriage to be involved, but they want you to stay and they want you to shut up. So, you know, and then it's like, well, I'll stay if we get married in a year. Well, you know what the year happened and it did. Okay, well, if we're not married by 2016 and I'm out. Oh, okay, well, now we set a date. Well, we're not married by this date. Like, the bargaining happens. And then you spend so much time bargaining and realizing that it won't happen, that depression will hit hard. Whew. And some people stay stuck in the depression and they don't get to the acceptance. The point of it is that the cycle is going to happen no matter what, but you've got to get to the acceptance point. And the acceptance point will happen when you can look at him and don't wish him any more ill will. You can just be like, you know what? And you pity him. You know, like, I'll be honest, I've cracked some jokes about this guy, but for real, I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for them children. I feel sorry for her, because that's just a, that's a mess. That is a mess. And he is likely to do it again. Why? Because he got away with it this time. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You let a bank robber go in the bank and steal $1 million, and you yell at him for a little bit, but hey, he still walked out with that $1 million. What's to stop him doing it again? I would.
Exactly. And she's taking care of him and driving her car and all that. I would be pissed. I would be done with it. So I don't understand why women, the guy. I understand you love him, you're in love with him, you have kids with him, but, you know, he has two growing sons. And now his children have seen all this, witnessed all this, you know, and his you know, his two sons are going to, you know, act just like him. You know, you're so protective of your children, but yet what kind of role model are you? You're disrespecting their mother.
And it's either going to go one or two ways. They're either going to feel like this is the way women are supposed to be treated, or I'm never going to treat a woman the way I saw my father treat my mother. It's going to go, you know, one or those ways. You know, the blessing with love is that it teaches, you know, forward. It teaches linear. It can either teach forward or it can teach in reverse. Either I'm going to give you everything you need to succeed and do well, or I'm going to show you the way not to do it. I'm going to show you the way, I'm going to teach you in reverse. I'm going to show you the way not to behave, or I'm showing you the way not to do it. And, you know, it's either going to go a love for his father, a love for his mother, a love and a respect for his mother, and a love and respect for his father. It's a tough sale, but This is one of the downcast of this expression of love, is that it's not only showing in the father's footsteps that, yes, I watched my father disrespect my mother, quote unquote, but is it disrespect because my mother stayed and my mother endured it and my mother didn't say a word? Oh, my mother, you know, yeah, she yelled, but yeah, she stayed. You know, it's going to be that one-on-one, you know, speaking from experience, my great-grandfather was poly as well. He wasn't consensually poly with his line of hair, but he was. And he had kids. He had kids outside of his marriage. And my grandmother, my Mima knows all about it. These kids grew up with us. Came to the functions and the thing. I didn't know that these kids were from, you know, an extramarital affair until we got older and my papa got sick. That's when I realized, wait, these were his kids? They weren't just, you know, we're Italian on that side of the family, everybody family. So these weren't just, you know, friends of the people or the people. He had kids. What? Meemaw, what were you thinking? And she was thinking, I love my husband. And I'm in my head like, I don't know if I have that kind of love. And she was like, you don't know what you have until you're forced to have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what?
That's true. That's true, Valerie.
She might, you know, this love may not necessarily be a love of, you know, as we like to call it, an eros love, an erotic love. It might be a matter of survival. I got to stay with this man because, hell, I want to raise my kids in a two-parent household. You know, I want to be comfortable. I want to, you know, economically, I want to be comfortable. It could be any number of things. But, you know, that's the, you know, and eventually she may grow to be better than this. Because I can't say she deserves better because I don't know her and I don't know. She deserves somebody who gives her what she wants. And if this cat does, then by all means. But I'm glad you got the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah. So that's one thing people won't take is liars. You know, I make it clear to every man, just be honest. You know,
right.
Some men, they are, I have met men that, you know, they have been honest and say, look, I have a girl. You know, you know, you either rock me with me or you're not. You know?
Right.
And that's just what it is. And I respect that. As long as you're honest about it. Now, I probably would have talked to him anyways. I probably wouldn't have talked to him anyways. But still, I would have still say he had a, you know, he had somebody. And he reached out to me. I didn't reach out. I didn't even have his number. He saved my number. Like, we had talked years before. Like, we talked in 2011. I had first met him in 2011. And we, you know, we went out and everything. And then we lost, you know, contact. And then all of a sudden, he just hits me up out of the blue. And a couple years, I mean, he still stayed in contact with me because I was in a relationship. And he still was, you know, texting me, calling me, seeing how I was doing and everything.
Right.
So I was I think he was, like, hunting me down or something. Like, he was just waiting for the perfect time.
The perfect time. You know, it was funny. You said something about being vulnerable. And I think that's the thing. Being vulnerable when you're being courted is not necessarily a bad thing. I feel like a lot of us, especially as women, we mistake vulnerability with weakness. But love is a vulnerable place. It really is. You cannot love anybody from the back of a wall. And I read in Kirk Franklin's book, you know, he said you can't love in fear. You can't. So you're going, I hate to say this, you know, you're talking about Kirk Franklin and whatnot, but you're going balls to the wall and you're not. You know, you can't have ass pistols. So,
right.
You know, it's a point of vulnerability in all of us that, you know, swoops in love. Now, if you were vulnerable because, and I don't want to say this the wrong way, but I have to. If you were vulnerable because you were fractured, I don't want to say broken, you were fractured. There was you weren't all the way healed. There was still a part of you that was still, you know, and this goes for guys and girls, you know, that was still kind of harping. You're still kind of looking in the rear view while dude is trying to open the passenger side door. Then that's the wrong kind of vulnerable for you to be trying to fall in love. But if you were vulnerable because you made a decision. I'm going to take my fist from in front of my face. I'm going to let my guard down, and I'm going to pray that you don't hit me when I do. That's the kind of vulnerability that'll get you love struck. Hopefully the good kind. Hopefully the good kind. Here's the phone call this evening. I just feel like this is a conversation everybody should be in.
It is. Yeah, it really, really is. It really is.
Let me ask you a question. I always hear that men don't love as easily, but they love harder than we do. You agree?
Yeah, I do. I think deep down inside, men do love harder. I have talked to several men, and they will quote that they had loved really, really hard. The thing about men is that they have a lot of pride, so they won't show it. They won't show that, but they'll tell you, but they just won't show it. Like us females, we're already emotional, so we're gonna show when we love hard. But men, no. Especially when it's a female that was, had been rocking with them for the longest time, has been through the struggles with them, they truly do love them.
Mm-hmm.
They won't, and men don't trust as easily as females do. So the men come in a relationship and they already have that wall built up, because men already just naturally have trust issues. So then once you break that wall, which is a hard wall to break, they fall hard. They fall really hard. And women, we're just emotional, so we already fall so easily. That's what, most women want. They want to fall in love. They want to get married. They want to have kids.
Uh-huh.
That's what they die for. So, and men, I think most men, they don't care if they get married or not. As long as they have a ride-or-die chick with them that's going to stick with them through everything, that's all they care about.
Okay. That could be. I'm going to challenge, though, that just as easily as we have been taught as women that we are here to get married, to find our man, and to have children and make babies, that equally men are taught that, they're going to go through a wild period. They're going to go through a time where where they're just wild and crazy. They're going to do what they want to do, and they just da 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 da. And then there's just going to come a point where they're going to find that one. They're taught this. It's just going to be that one. So they're finding they're looking for a mystical moment too, just like we're looking for that mystical moment where, life transcends for us and the skies open and the levees break. They're looking for it too. They're looking for that one woman that's going to pow, make the pimp in them die right there. And sometimes they can see it, and sometimes they can't. And I would stand on them being taught that emotional is girly and emotional is feminine, mm-hmm. and emotional is weak, and they're supposed to be showing this leadership. So they are afraid to be vulnerable, but I don't think they love any harder than we do. I think it's harder for them to admit it. and I think it's harder for them to show it.
Yeah, you have a point.
I think because it flows so easily from us and not so easily from them, it looks, it feels as if when they love harder. I just think it's a harder shell to break.
Yeah, you definitely have a point. Yeah, I totally agree. And that's true because even to shed a tear, men think that's a sign of weakness.
Mhm.
So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I've been with men that I've never seen shed a tear. I mean, not one time, ever. And you're like,
I said I can't do that. I can't stand a man that can't show a little bit, you know, of emotion. It just doesn't work for me.
I don't want no
emotional guy, but it, you know, just something, just to show something is there. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, my primary is that way, where it's like pulling teeth to get him to show anything. He's not cold, but he's not overtly emotional. You know, I've seen him meet death, and, you know, to my knowledge, meaning in my face, in my sight, there was never any tears shed. Now, he said he did, and I'm sure he did, but as far as in front of me, never. And it's scary. You know, I always tell them, I said, see, this type of stuff leads to people to be on episodes of Snacked.
Yeah.
One of us will be in the backyard.
Oh, wow.
Like situations where he should have been livid, like the normal person, average person would have been like tearing the walls off of something. His whole thing was like, well, you know, there's not a whole lot I can do about that right now. Most people are like, what the hell do you mean? So, yes, it is nerve-wracking when you're calming in about a tear. This time last year, the doctors were debating whether or not they were going to do emergency surgery on my mouth. And, you know, I was like, he does not love me. He can't possibly love me, because the doctors are calling him and they're like, she fell unconscious in the ER, and you know, there are abscess in her mouth. There's more than one. We're nervous about infection. We are wanting to go in, and he is calm as a cucumber. Well, no, I don't want you to do the surgery on her mouth. I'm going to come and get her, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, don't nobody love nobody that calm. but his whole thing is, if you're panicked and I'm panicked, how is anything going to come out of that? And I'm like, all right. You know, and his whole thing is, I'm the man, I'm the leader, I'm supposed to be leading, you're supposed to be looking for me, you know, looking for me for my strength. If I'm flipping out and you flipping out, who the strong one? You're okay. And it is, it is, it is, nerve wracker because you could be overtly emotional and you could show all your love on the outside of you. And somebody doesn't love you like that. They don't reciprocate your love. You're like, you's a cold somebody.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that. It's just, you know, I implore everybody within the sound of my voice to read the book on the love languages. And to make sure that you are speaking yourself as love language. As everybody's love language ain't the same. So, you know, maybe it's a book you guys can read together.
Right.
So your
right.
Your love language would be, you know, probably if I'm reading you are, you know, lots of compliments and lots of attention. You need love and reassurance, and you need to feel like you're wanted in the relationship, and you need to not only feel it, you need to see it. So you and my partner wouldn't get along.
All that.
Huh?
How did you get all that?
That's my job.
That's like me to a T. That's like me to a T. Honestly, that's me to a T.
That's my job. That's what I do. But see, like you and him, someone who is not necessarily overtly emotional, y'all would get along. Because your whole thing is like, he don't love me, he don't never say nothing. He don't never say it. And he's never said, like, he's never said it to me, so, you know, and I don't doubt it. I've never doubted whether or not he does or doesn't. He just never said it. And that would drive a lot of people crazy. But, like, he don't love me, he ain't never said it. I'm like, okay, yeah, well, you know what, there's a lot of people out here saying it, not showing it. I'd rather you show it if you, you know. But, like, my love language is like, structure. I need lots of structure. I need you. I need lots of tough love. I need you to get me on my shit. I need space. I don't need you crowding me. I don't need, like, an overt show of emotion all the time. Some of the time it's nice. But my love language is action. I need you to show me. Show me. If you say you're going to do something, I need you to do it. If you say you're going to be somewhere, I need you to be there. And if you're not there, then I'm like, no, you don't love me. You can't, because you can't promise me you're going to do something and don't do it. I don't give a damn how many times you say it.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I'm kind of like that. I can tolerate a whole lot in a relationship. I've noticed that. I will tolerate a lot before
right.
I... If I'll give you hints and all that. I'll say something to you. Hey, I need this. I want that. And, you know, and I'll tolerate it for a little while, but eventually I'll explode. And it's not going to be nice. It's going to be emotional and tears
explosive.
And upset.
Yep. And it's going
because I tolerate so much that I hold a lot in until I'm ready to explode, and I try not to do that.
It's going to be like somebody dumped a toxic waste barrel. It's just going to be a whole lot of stuff. I put a meme up on Facebook yesterday about that. Like, when a woman starts crying, it's usually because shit has happened over time, and she got tired of holding it in. And it's like, it's literally like, you've seen those toxic waste barrels? It's like somebody turned it on its side, and then shit just spews. It's like, she hates you for stuff that happened 8 months ago. And you're like, I don't even know. And you're like, and it's this, and it's that. It's like a powder keg that somebody lit the fuse to.
Yep. That's how I am. That's exactly how I am.
Now, that, because I'm that way too. That's me. And I start flipping about shit that happened a year ago. You may not even know it made me mad. You just sit there like, and another thing, I ain't never liked your mama. Why are we on the subject? I think your head hoeing funny. I never liked the way you fucked me. I love you enough. It just be a whole bunch of stuff. And you be like, the men be like, when the hell did all this happen? But when you love somebody, you tolerate a whole lot of shit until there's a crack in that love. And it's like, now I can tell you a thing or 12 about yourself.
Yep, that's how it is. Yep.
Oh my goodness. Whew. Yeah, that is that. And I guess that communication that I was telling everybody about, that'll be what kills your relationship. Love or lack thereof won't kill it, but that lack of communication, that'll shoot that relationship dead.
So, to close out this show, what would you say would be the gift and the curse of falling in love overall?
The term falling in love. The gift and the curse of falling in love is the fairy tale that we have sold these young girls, and the fairy tale that is the pressure that we put on these young boys. The gift of love is that it is a gift. It is a true-to-heart, selfless act, and it is the most selfless thing you'll ever do. The curse is not ever knowing it. I can't remember who said it. It might have been Shakespeare that said, it's better to have loved and lost and never loved at all. Yes. The curse of love is never knowing it. To never know that somebody could give that much of themselves to you just because your black ass or your white ass or whatever color your ass is got out of bed and opened your crusty eyes that day. That is a gift that is immeasurable. But we have sold a bill of goods that we can't pay the piper for. So we have shown people what love should look like, or what we think, or the fantasy of what love should look like, versus the reality of what love should feel like. And it should feel like falling off of a bridge, but knowing you'll never hit the ground.
Well said.
There'll be somebody there to help. There'll be somebody there to catch you. There it is.
Well said. I totally agree with that. Totally agree. Well, Corey, I want to thank you for joining me on this topic tonight.
My pleasure.
I really enjoyed myself. But I think it was better just having females rather than, old ass Tay on here.
Well, I think he could have given us a male perspective.
I think he just wanted it to be a ladies' night. He had a show last night, and it was just like all males on there.
Oh.
I think he's all talked out, he needs to be rested.
Well, that's understood. No problem.
So, before we leave, leave us all your info, all your social media. I know you have a show on Blog Talk too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can find me on Monday nights on the WTLC Talk Radio station on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Into Temptation. I am the Temptress. You can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Temptation. Send me a message. You can follow me at The Temptress 21 on Twitter. Also, ARIBCHASE on Twitter. That's REB Chase. And that's about it. Feel free. I'm social. Just, you know, hit me up.
She's very social. Well, I want to thank you again for, you know, joining me tonight. I really had a lot of fun. I appreciate
it. It's been my pleasure. I had a ball.
Thanks. And I want to thank everybody else for joining us tonight. It's been great. And you have been tuning in to It's Real Talk Radio, and we are out of here.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nippy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.